When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Song Facts Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, mental health is always something that is looked at through varying different lenses. And I've always looked at it as something that is very important to continue to try and have in your life. And without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace, well, that's hard. And the good news is that therapy works. I can attest to that personally. But what is therapy? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated, you need some tools to help you through a difficult time in life, or maybe you're just feeling insecure in relationships, not dealing well with stress. There's so many different things that are out there that can cause us to have mental health issues, and it can be so good just to go and talk with someone. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and just start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And now, a special offer to SongFacts podcast listeners. You can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy. That's right, 10% off at betterhelp.com/songfacts. That's betterhelp.com/songfacts. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast, and go have yourself a great day. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Song Facts Podcast. My name is Corey O'Flanagan, and I am your host. And as always, this podcast is proudly a part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. If you're listening, and you have been for a while, go ahead and leave us a nice review. 5 stars always works. And you know what? Reach out to me. Tell me if there's people I need to be talking to. I love finding new music. I love when people who are listening let me know. So it would be great to hear from you anytime. Today on the show, we have a legend of both music and social relevance, Mr. Lester Chambers, who was a member of the influential group The Chambers Brothers. These talented guys started out playing gospel. They went electric at Newport the same year as Dylan, which we hear all about, and they wrote the long-standing hit song Time Has Come Today. Lester, who now plays with his new band Moon Alice with his son Dylan, so it's kind of gone full circle staying in the family, shares some great stories and talks in depth about the financial side of the music business and how it can take advantage of so many artists, including himself. Moon Alice is playing a handful of shows this year, and it is so good, so be sure to check them out if they come near you. And please join me in welcoming Mr. Lester Chambers.
Hello, Corey.
Hey, how are you today?
Great.
I can't thank you enough for doing this with me and spending a little bit of time. I've got a few questions, but I'm not going to take up too much of your time.
Well, good. Whatever, however you see it.
Are you right in the middle of a tour right now?
Well, we're working, but not a tour.
Oh, okay.
We're driving in and spending a night here and there and coming back. But I'd like to be on tour.
The summer tour season is in front of us.
I know. I can't wait.
So one of the things that I wanted to do is I just have an obsession with music history. And I'm going to try and for part of this just to utilize you to help me learn more about some of the times that you lived through and got to experience, if that's okay.
Okay.
But you have such an amazing origin story. So, Mr. Chambers, I just wanted to thank you so much, first of all, for coming onto the Song Facts podcast. And I'd really like to start by getting the story of how you ended up from where you grew up in Mississippi to out in California.
We got in the car one night and drove off.
Is that easy?
After two and a half, three days, we wound up in California. But it was a struggle getting out of Mississippi on the road. So, yeah.
Now, did I read somewhere that it was an older brother of yours who had served in the military and then he got stationed out there? And that's one of the reasons you guys did that?
Well, he didn't get stationed out there, but when he came out of the service, he went to California because he no longer wanted his brothers and sisters to grow up in a place like Mississippi. Mm-hmm.
And so was the intention to start a family band?
The intention was to just move to California and get out of Mississippi.
Just get out.
And be somewhere else, yes.
Okay.
A better place.
And what year was this?
53.
Oh, wow. So you were just barely a teenager then, right?
Yes.
Wow, incredible.
Just a teenager, all of 14 years old.
So can you talk to me, where'd you guys end up in LA?
Yes.
And what was going on in LA? Did you finish school then or did you guys get right into music?
Both.
Oh, you did both. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And then what were some of the first songs, like what kind of style was the band doing back then in like the late 50s, early 60s?
Well, actually, we were a gospel group and sing only in churches during our earlier days in Mississippi, out of Mississippi into California. Mm-hmm. But we had problems with that, so we went to the coffee houses for, you know, something to do. Because we had it in our minds that we were going to be a singers.
And then at this point, you guys kind of transitioned to the coffee houses all around, but a lot of them in New York City around the same time that Dylan and things like that were happening there. Is that right?
Correct.
And what I was reading this morning is you guys played in that one of those Newport Folk Festivals. And I think it was the one, where Dylan went electric?
Yes, we were there.
I'd be remiss. This is one of the historical periods that I've just obsessed over. I'm just wondering how you guys transitioned from folk to electric at that same time. It just seems like it was a really tough decision for a lot of bands to make.
Well, it was because, as you know, at that time, there were hardly any blues clubs or coffee houses were our only outlet. So to go from the coffee houses to Newport was great, you know. And we got there, we had already been sort of playing with one electric guitar and one acoustic guitar and a gut bucket bass. So when we got to Newport, people kept coming and coming and coming, and we're going, oh my God, look at all these people. And George Wynn was saying, we don't want no electric, no electric. None. Well, so we had no choice. And we decided that with all those people, there's no way they're going to hear an acoustic guitar in the back.
Yeah.
So we went electric.
So you guys went electric at that same show?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Before Bob Dylan. But we got no credit. Oh, yeah. Nobody talked about the four black dudes that went on stage and rocked the place out because our music was quite different.
Yeah.
We're doing Jimmy Reed, Bob Dylan's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And as we all know, and we're doing great rock and roll type get up and dance music, and people did, you know, but we didn't get any credit for it.
So did you feel like that audience reacted differently to you all than they did with Bob?
Yes. They screamed at Bob when he came out, go get your real guitar.
But they were more receptive for you guys.
No, they had no choice. We had no choice, and we didn't give them a choice. We wanted to be heard, and we got heard.
So then, from that point in time, it seems like it was kind of this smooth transition for you guys to start playing, mixing that gospel bass that you had with some more funky and bluesy and electrified tunes. I think the Chambers Brothers had a big hit in the mid-60s with Time Has Come Today. I'm just wondering if you could kind of tell us a little bit of the story behind that song. It's just such a classic, amazing tune.
Well, it was developed by the four of us from traveling across country so many times from everywhere in the world. We were going to play coffee houses. And so was the beginning of the hippie uprising. Mm-hmm. And people were walking all over the place, just lost, with nowhere, looking as if they had nowhere to go or nowhere to be. And so the words, Time Has Come Today, got my brother Joe's attention. And from there, we all pitched in and came up with Time Has Come Today.
Okay. And one of the songs that has been one of my favorites by you all for as long as I can remember, from when I first heard it probably 20 years ago, was Funky. I'm wondering if you guys were you guys tied in at all with Sly and the Family Stone? Because that's the kind of vibe I get there.
No, let's get this straight.
Yeah, yeah.
We were before Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we were a couple of years out front of Sly and the Family Stones. Let's Get Funky was written by me I was hoping to create and start a new dance. Because everybody was doing dances.
Oh, you know, that's the mashed potato.
The boogaloo, the mashed potatoes, the watusie, you know, the chicken, the funky chicken. So I said, let's make it a funky tune and talk about what happened in your home, you know, and that's how that came up. But yeah.
Well, I'm just curious because that was that kind of funk music. You guys must have really been at the front of that movement. Like, there wasn't too many people playing with a wah pedal, really getting funky like that. Where did that sound come from for you guys?
It was natural. We were African.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, huh?
That checks out.
We got rhythm, man. We got rhythm.
I really like that. Well, the rhythm carries on today. I've seen on YouTube some of you guys' live performances, and you can still bring it.
Yes, well, you know, Let's Get Funky is Moon Alice's now current song on the market.
Unbelievable.
And in the radio plays. Yes, we did a great job of remaking it, and it's really going over well.
I'm liking what you guys are doing with this new band. I think that you guys have found some really nice chemistry.
I'm loving it.
I'm glad. It's nice to see you smiling.
It's just nice to be, man. And so many people are friends. The old friends are calling. Like, I just had my birthday, and I must have gotten, my phone is so full of messages till I can't get any more messages. And it was just, you know, and they're all talking about Moon Ellis is the greatest thing they've ever seen.
Oh, I love it.
And I know for sure it's one of the greatest things I've ever done is become part of Moon Ellis.
So
my son and Dylan thinks the same way. He's right beside me on every show we do. And what a pleasure. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because you started as a family band. You're now back in a family band with your son. How does that feel? How does that rounding out, completing the circle thing?
It's just one big ball of happiness, you know, and it's just one big great joy. Well, it's the greatest. I couldn't ask for a better thing than to be on stage with my son and the Tea Sisters, and all the guys in the band. We're just a happy group of people that come together as a family, and we are families because the Tea Sisters now have children, and my son and I, and just Roger, we're just all great.
I love to hear
happy
that.
People.
And that kind of thing really—
And we love it.
If you want to go ahead, you can.
We all really love music.
I think that's the most clear thing. It seems like you guys are enjoying yourselves so much on the videos that I've watched. I'm in Denver. I have yet to see a Denver date set on the schedule, but I'm hoping.
I know. What's up with that, Denver?
It's just such a good middle point, too. If you guys are going to be on the East Coast and West Coast, it seems like a logical place to stop.
We'd love to, and all they got to do is call the agent. I'm sure we'll be there.
We're gonna try and utilize this little airwave that we've got here to try and make that happen. If I can do anything to make that happen, I would love it.
Well, just tell Denver Moon Ellis love Denver.
There we go.
Why not? You know.
Okay, indulge me a little bit more because the time that you all were really like pumping out some of your best tunes and just really in the middle of it was in that huge movement that we kind of touched on in the mid 60s going into the late 60s. And I'm just so curious how it felt, if you can now looking back at it, how it felt to be a part of something that was just so musically and socially crazy and just important.
Well, it was like total fulfillment of being a musician, a singer, you know, because you got to tell people in quantities.
Yeah.
Lots of people at the same time was hearing your message. And it was a great way to get the message out because, you know, people pick up a newspaper, they read it, and they put it down.
Yep.
They pick up a flyer, they read it, they use it to the back of it to take notes. And then it becomes torn apart. Music is played over and over and over, and nationwide, worldwide. And people hear what you're saying and what you're thinking. And it was so great to be a part of helping to deliver great songs to the public's ear.
Can you remember, like, consciously thinking about writing a song that was for a funky song, I want to create a new dance, versus a few years later, you guys are writing songs with really strong and important messages? And was that intentional?
Yes. Yes, because as you know, things weren't good then and they're a lot worse now. But like I said earlier, it was a great way to get your message out. to get the words. And we had been warned by the media and booking agents and stuff like that, if we participated in any of the protests or marches, or if we sang at any of them, we would no longer be booked by any of the agents. And so we figured, hey, we don't have to be there. Let's get on the radio with it.
Okay.
You know, it's more important. Because those people that went to those marches and parades, they still remember it. But to hear the music that went with it, and several people at that particular time started to write music for those purposes because they had been told the same thing. If you go to any of these benefits that are raising money for this protest of people against people, you won't be playing anymore. And several people you don't hear on the radio still.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So I figured that that kind of thing was happening behind the scenes, but you guys said, okay, you're going to block that door for us. Yeah. We're going to open up this door.
We'll write the greatest song that's ever been written for it. Time has come today.
Oh, I really
like young
that.
Heart. Yes. Time has come today for heart, young hearts, all hearts to go their way. Can't put it off another day.
Nope.
We got to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
So the need for that now keeps being bigger and more, and really needs to be heard now. People really need to know that time has come for us to act like people and not animals, and stop killing, shooting, and stealing from one another. You know,
please.
One of the greatest things that ruined the possibility for so many musicians were, like, musicians like us had so many great stories to tell as to how we were being robbed, and we're still being robbed. You know, we're like sharecroppers. We get a small percentage of the music we make,
yep.
Just a small percentage. The record company gets the rest. What do they do with it?
They don't share it.
They don't share it. They float around in yachts and drive around in Teslas and, you know, and here we are still walking.
Yeah.
Still renting homes, you know, and we made all this music. We supposed to got paid. We never got paid, you know.
That was something. I was reading about that this morning, and how that you've partnered with one of the co-founders of Reddit about 10 years ago to try and help make some changes on that. And unfortunately, it's just a crazy, sad business when it comes to paying artists properly.
It fell to deaf ears, and they
just to chime in here real quick. Hi,
yeah.
Dylan.
Hi,
here.
Dylan.
How you doing? Lester didn't receive a royalty check for anything that he, like, the Chambers Brothers had recorded until, like, the mid-90s.
I read that.
So there were, like, times in my life growing up where we were, like, going to, like, food banks and church handouts for food because we didn't have, you know, we didn't have money for food, you know. And you tell people that know who the Chambers Brothers are, like, what did you do? Did you spend it all on drugs or did you gamble it all? How come you don't have any money? And then they don't realize that it was very predatory in that time. There was, like, mafia involved in a lot of record labels, and most artists just got, like, the worst deals that you could possibly imagine. But, you know, from their perspective, they're like, hey, this is the only way I'm going to get heard. So I've got to sign this contract so that I can record my music. And, you know, there's, like, a handful of cats who are, you know, who have made it out successfully from the 60s with, like, owning the majority of their rights,
yeah,
or becoming, you know, financially stable from their music. But
yeah, like Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Right. Or the Stones or something.
I mean, when you look at this life that they have and the way they have treated musicians of color throughout the world, throughout the time of our lifetime, we have not yet been treated right. And it's ridiculous to think that someone could write a song that sells 10, 20, you know, out of all of the records, out of all the years of Time Has Come Today, it's never been a day gone by since we recorded that song and it was released, that it hasn't been played on the radio in every state in the United States, yep, just about. And we've only gotten one tiny little gold record for it.
It's so
that
sad.
Record must be, it must be 10 times platinum. So if you don't get your record, if you don't get acknowledged, how are you going to get paid?
Stay tuned for more Song Facts Podcast right after this. What would you be able to, what could you learn from that if you could go back now, and would you be able to make a different deal, or would that just not be possible?
Well, of course the deal would be different now because the times are different now, and the percentage that they give musicians now would be different. But I think they should have, you know, most musicians that recorded way back when we did, especially if you're a white musician, your contract was upgraded, your pay scale was upgraded. Yeah. And if you're people of color, you don't get upgraded. You just keep making that same little 3 points.
It's pretty much just sign this or never be heard by
that's
anybody.
That's why I consider musicians' job as a sharecropper. You know, the record company gets all the money and they take five guys and give you 3 pennies of that dollar. Hmm. And call you, and you make all the money. You do all the traveling. You risk your life. You know. And the real sad and sick thing about it is the country we live in don't recognize musicians as workers. We do not get insurance.
I hear that.
They will not allow. They will not give musicians insurance because we are assigned risk.
Oh, they I will see. Not,
they will not insure your equipment because it's high risk for being stolen.
And the travel and all that. So it's almost like a pre-existing condition to be a musician.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Unbelievable. Dylan, I want to thank you for chiming in and I just thank you for educating me, educating my audience. I love to hear this kind of stuff. It's very important to get this kind of information
yes.
out. So thank you so
yes.
much. Moon Alice is, let's circle back a little bit
okay.
because Moon Alice has just been, it looks like it's just been such a great time for all the fans and then the band alike, which we kind of touched on. You guys release
yes.
the Curtis Mayfield song, People Get Ready.
People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith. You can hear the diesel's coming. You don't need no.
Right.
Which was prominently featured on Questlove's award-winning documentary, Summer of Soul. Shout out to Questlove,
right.
made a hell of a film.
Great.
How did this song become really important for you guys to record and release now?
Well, because it has a message. It has one of the greatest messages you could ever have. We all have to get up and get ready. To go anywhere, to be anywhere, to do anything, you have to get ready, be ready. And that's one of the main things that people don't understand is you need time. And if you don't take time to get ready, then you're angry about being where you have to be. You're not happy. Make yourself happy. Take time to get ready to do what you have to do. And be at peace with yourself and the world.
I think that that's really important. One of the things that I get when the more people that I talk to is people have a hard time forgiving themselves and they really punish themselves mentally. And so I think a message like what that song has of just what you're saying, just get ready, get yourself right, and then you can be the best version of yourself to the rest of the world.
to the rest of the world. Yes. And it's so important that people 60 years I've been singing that song.
It's amazing.
People get ready. 60 years I've been singing more. I've been singing Time Has Come Today. And there are so many other great songs.
Yeah.
You know, like when we originally they did the song Going Uptown to Harlem. There was a whole movement going on to where if you were Black and lived in New York, don't think you're going to get a taxi, okay? You cannot get a taxi. The only way you could get a taxi was to have a white person stop it for you and act like they were going to get in it, and you got in it. So Betty Mayberry at the time wrote this song because she was a victim, and a female victim of transportation. It doesn't make sense to own a car in New York unless you live in the suburbs. So she lived in Manhattan and could never get a taxi, and there was nowhere to hang out in New York Harley when she wrote that song for Blacks. And so she wrote this song, I'm Going Uptown to Harlem.
I'm going uptown to Harlem, gonna let my hair down in Harlem. If a taxi won't take me, I'll catch a train. I'll go underground, I'll get there just the same. Cause I'm going uptown to Harlem, gonna let my hair down in Harlem. 120, 50 now, here I come now.
To let my hair down in Harlem. And thank God it became the favorite song for Questlove.
Yeah.
And his movie. It was perfect for Summer of Soul.
It really was. That really just kind of like tied the whole story together, yeah. I felt.
And did you see that huge audience?
Oh my
that
God.
Came to Central Park, has never had that many people in it before or since. But the weird thing is, Summer of Soul was the Harlem Cultural Festival was before Woodstock.
Oh, that's right. It was the same summer, but it was earlier, right?
Yes. So that's why Harlem Cultural Festival got dumped in the basement, because they wanted Woodstock to shine. Mm. Well, Summer of Soul, our cultural festival was Black. Woodstock was white.
Yeah, very much.
And if you look at the stage and the equipment that was provided for us was very minimum. There was no wall of sound back there. No sound company would come, would even talk to us about equipment for the festival, because they thought we were going to flop and not be able to pay the bill. So we had to bring our equipment, our personal equipment, with us for that gig, you know?
I mean, for someone who loves reading and learning about this period, like I knew about the festival, but when I was able to finally see that documentary and then really start learning more about it and just hearing what you have to say about it too, it just is, it's never ending amount of amazingness at how people were mistreated. And it's just as, it's so sad because it's such good music with such a good message too.
Yeah. It's great music, great people, great cast of musicians and bands. Oh my God. What an enjoyment.
Oh, I like to see you smile when you think about it.
What an enjoyment. It was just.
So I got one more question for you, and then I'm going to let you get back to it, because you guys got a lot going on with all the music that you're playing, and that's what I kind of want to ask you about.
As soon as we're done, I'm in the car on my way to another part.
I'm just curious, when you're standing on stage now at these shows, what's the best part of playing these songs to these new audiences?
Well, the ones that haven't heard it, the best thing is knowing that they got to hear it.
They get to hear the message.
And that I got to sing it to them like I did in the 60s.
Yeah.
Again. And they're, a lot of them are like, wow. And all, you know? And the greatest thing about it is having that audience come to see you and still loving what I can bring to the table or to the show or to the audience. You know, I just love it, you know?
Well, we love it too. And I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me. I'm going to make however many people I can know about it in Denver so we can get you guys to come here. And
yeah.
If not, maybe I'll just try and drive out to the West Coast and catch a show because I don't know. It just seems like this is the right time to be doing this. And
I tell you, Moon Alice is worth driving to see.
We will leave it right at that. Lester Chambers, thank you so much for your time. All the best to you and yours. I hope that you guys have a great rest of your kind of tour. And I hope to see you out there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Lester for coming on the show, sharing so many great stories about both his career, the ups and downs, and the amazing songs that he's been a part of. As always, guys, for the stories behind the songs, go to songfacts.com and be sure to go check out Moon Alice. Looks like they are just crushing it out there.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.